DavidReinicke.com, a good website to have bookmarked, but the man who puts it together is with me on the phone right now. Hello, David.
Back with you again, Brooke.
Thank you very much. Telescopes. Now, I've always wanted to know if a telescope can actually detect things like oceans and vegetation on planets. Now, you're saying NASA has telescopes that can reveal that information, but obviously not to the naked eye. It's not that sort of info, is it?
No. We're in an era now that, you know, we call this the watershed era. This is a brand new approach to astronomy. And to that end, we're getting bigger and better telescopes being made. Now, NASA have just come out with an amazing invention or compound invention that they want to try and image planets around other worlds. We know they're out there. We can see planets around other stars quite clearly, whereas 20 years ago, we didn't know of any. But now we know there are quite a few worlds out there, and a lot of them around suns like our own, around stars like our own, which means the planets could be pretty much similar to what we've got here. But we can't determine that from here. It's too far away. Well, with the help of a little bit of physics and some good technology, they've now got telescopes coming up very soon that we can launch into space that will be able to not only image these worlds, but also get down as far as 25K from the surface.
Wow.
Now, that's amazing resolution when you think about it.
If you can see the surface, then that would tell you if it's worth colonising, if it's worth looking at maybe ancient structures. That'd be the biggest thing if you saw something that proved there was a civilization there back in the day.
Well, with a capability like that and a resolution like that, you can work out clouds, you can see mountains, but if there's vegetation there, maybe he's growing rhubarb, who knows? If ET's there and he's built anything, we can see that. Now, 25K might sound like a little bit too high up. Well, it's not. You imagine some of the photographs you've seen from the space station of planet Earth. They can see ships in the ocean quite clearly. You know, they can see cars and people walking around. Look, imagine this. Well, this is how it'll be. With this telescope and the capability it's got, once it's all ready to go and put into orbit, if we had that on the space station right now, you could actually look at, photograph, a freckle on someone's arm.
Get out.
Pretty good, isn't it?
Not that you'd want to, but that's amazing resolution.
But what we're saying, and what it all means, is that we're on the verge now of being able to determine what sort of conditions exist on another planet, and a planet we may be able to go to in the future. There are quite a few out there. Now, what better way of doing that? It's like doing a travelogue at home on your laptop. You don't have to go there to have a look at what the resort's like. You don't have to go there to see if it's got a pool. You don't have to go there to see if it's got walkways and you can go for a bit of a jerk. Yeah, but we've now got the capability of looking and examining these worlds. And more than that, with these telescopes and the new technology that goes with it, we can look at the light coming back from them and determine the makeup of the atmosphere, even the temperature of the planet itself.
I love that.
It's great technology when you think about it. All these things are due in this decade, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. They're going to look back in future years at the 2020s, even though we had a pretty rough start to it. It's going to be looking at the 2020s is going to be the decade when we go back into space, do all the things we wanted to do before, and finally settle on other worlds and become a true multi-planet species, I guess.
More at DavidReinicke.com if you want to look at that. Now, if you've ever wanted to become an astronaut, I mean seriously apply for a job as an astronaut, then NASA are asking for people to apply. Are you serious?
Yeah, no, they're doing it. Now, even you can do this, Bill. Okay, we're looking for young people.
Yeah, but I'm not fit.
I'm too old. What you've got to do is put your application in. They've got 12,000 already. Now, this result is probably the second highest intake they've ever had. Greatest amount of interest in the space program in many, many a decade. And they're coming from a lot of people who want now to be part of this new core, this new Artemis program. The Artemis program is NASA's little moniker to designate this move back into space again, to be dominant in space like they once were. And they're being helped along by Elon Musk, of course. So when they do go into space, we're going to have a brand new bunch of astronauts here that have been trained and ready to go. They might not fly till 2024 or 2025, but one thing is for sure, with a mixed group, it can be pretty certain that one of these is going to be the first woman to walk on the moon.
Well, with us in isolation, I mean, there's no reason why you can't be doing the prerequisite subjects at home. Instead of binging Netflix, how about improving your brain? Anyway, have a look at that.
Well, it's a good thing. It shows that NASA is serious now about getting back into space like they did before. And we're about to see, you know, in the hope that in the next maybe a week or two or a month at the outside, we're going to see American astronauts launch from American soil for the first time since 2011.
I'm loving that.
On one of Elon Musk's spacecraft.
Now, it's always good.
It's all happening now. And,
It's always good to see improvements happening in Australia when it comes to space tech. I mean, the middle of Australia has always been, the Woomera Rocket Range has been around. We've had more space up in the Northern Territory set up. Now, we see this fairly regularly, not that we can go over the borders now, but Tamworth is setting up a science centre and an astronomy area as well. Is this funding from the government or have they got private enterprise behind this?
This is the council, I think you'll find, and this is great because I know these guys and I know them fairly well. This is a group that I've worked with before, and they're a very, very powerful, basically amateur astronomy group. They're the Regional Astronomy Club.
Okay.
Been going for quite a while now, and they've got tourism right across New South Wales. They're drawing in people already. They get about 200 at their little roll-off observatory. They've got at the moment, this is going to be a much bigger facility, about maybe $1.8 million being put in by Tamworth Regional to the Tamworth Regional Astronomy and Science Centre is what they're calling that.
So if council are putting in the money, they must know there's a big tourism potential. I mean, country music's thing Tamworth is into, but who would have thought astronomy and people like yourself who like to go and look at the night sky, there's actually an area where we now can do conventions and congregate eventually.
Well, you can if you're over that way. And it's going to have a range of telescopes. It's going to have a planetarium there. There's going to be an educator's area too, an educational area in there as well. And that means they can get school kids in and teach them astronomy. And the observatory is going to be big enough to have big night shows there for people.
Wow.
But look, I think this is great. I really take my hat off to these guys. They've worked hard to do it. The first sod has been turned. And they expect to have this up and running by the end of the year.
That's awesome, because the closest planetarium to anyone in southeast Queensland is in Brisbane in the Mitanni Gardens there. And otherwise, Tamworth still a good 3 or 4 hours away. But it is on the way down south. So if you're heading towards Sydney or you're heading towards Parkes, I mean, there's another way of getting out there through regional New South Wales. I like that.
I've been to and been in and lectured in these amateur groups for quite a lot of time. And I can tell you now, you would be really surprised. Anyone would be really surprised at the interest from the general public, from people, from tourists coming by who flock there that just want something different to do. And if you have a facility there with telescopes, they will come to it. It's just brilliant.
More at davidrenicki.com if you want to know more. Now, David, one final thing. It's something we're battling all the time, trying to, see the night sky. And there's an International Dark Sky Week coming up. You couldn't ask for a better time with the COVID lockdown because a lot of people don't need to be outside, at work. So you can actually spend a bit of time in your backyard as long as there's none of this light. The street lights are what annoy me at my place.
Well, they annoy everyone, and they're real. It's killing astronomy, you know. Look, when you step out at night time, you're really hard pressed to see all the stars in the sky there. Artificial lighting is killing everything we're doing. They've taken a survey: 1 in 5 North Americans. This has been a Northern Hemisphere study. 1 in 5 North Americans can see the Milky Way at night. Only 1 in 5 can have at least a glimpse of it. 99% of the total of America. 99% of Americans experience light pollution. And that's a recent study that's just been done. It's getting worse all the time. And it's a stark reminder that we're just blotting the sky out for future generations to enjoy.
What about native peoples that need to read the sky? That's their culture, their heritage. They want to show kids that, some of their legends start in the sky. And if the kids can't read them, what point have you got?
Well, there is an International Dark Sky Association, been around for quite a while. And what they do, they try and educate councils and other facilities, governments in general, to look at the amount of lighting that they're using and how they're using it. Look, the majority of streetlights used to, a lot of them now have been covered and shrouded. A lot of streetlights used to just throw the light up into the sky. A little bit goes on the ground, but all that up in the sky is wasted. And you can see that air glow from a city from 20 or 30K away when you're coming back home after a journey, if you're there at night time. So that amount of energy is being wasted, and what we've said to our council here, and they've done it, and other councils have taken note as well, you put a shroud around the light, and you throw the light onto the ground where it should be.
Nice.
It's just ruining astronomy for general. I remember the story I keep telling when we talk about this, and it bears repeating again, that something like 20-odd years ago, there was a blackout in New York, and that blackout lasted about 8 minutes. It wasn't long. But the next morning at schools all around New York, the teachers were reporting kids coming up to them saying they saw stars in the sky from their backyard for the first time in their life.
That's sad, isn't it?
Pretty sad when you think about
it. Thought you were going to say there was a baby boom, but 8 minutes, well, maybe that's long enough for a lot of fellas, but anyway, it's another story. DaveAredinger.com has more of those fantastic stories. Have a look at the Tamworth situation, because that is achievable. If you are into this, then it's worth the drive once the international or the borders open up again once the COVID crisis ends. But, David,
too long. We can get back under the sky. Yep.
If you look at Dave Aranicki's Facebook page as well, you'll see a great little memento from Anzac Day. Mate, that really touched me, the way you had the whole setup there with the table and the flag over it. I was touched, and I appreciate that as an Aussie.
Yeah. And I think we should do that. We're going to do it again next year.
I think it should be a permanent fixture. If you can't get to a dawn service, do it at home from the driveway.
Well, look, even if you can, it doesn't hurt, does it?
No.
I think it'll become fairly common. I think it's a great... We had a great time. There were a few people out there, not a lot, but enough to make it worthwhile, you know. Yeah, I feel good.
Thank you, David.